is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:02 on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, we were just talking about it. Tyreek Hill decided, he told the Chiefs he will not restructure his deal to help the club out, to get down cap-wise so that they can make some moves. When, in fact, all of these restructuring, you get your money. You're going to get your money. You get it up front, as a matter of fact. And Tunsil did his. Tunsil got down. Tunsil's cap number, according to Over the Cap, is 9.293 this year. But here's the downside, which is only 4.8% of the cap. In 2020, next year, it's 26. The year after, 26. 26.1 and 26.8. Wow. He's going to call in his... In his 4 years here, he's going to cost $76 million against the cap. Tunsil. And holy crap. That's a big number. That 26 is a quarterback number, is most quarterback numbers. That's the start. That's the franchise number for a quarterback in that neighborhood. Or maybe it's more, probably more now. But man, oh man, oh man. That is, it seems like it's penal. Now, next year, the cap is going to go up. This year is bad because of the, you know, pandemic and everything else, and it's down to 182.5 is the cap number. So you wanted to get it down now. You wanted to be able to work some stuff. You still got the Deshaun issue. You don't know what's going to happen there. You had to free up money, and Tunsil did that for him. But he also got money so he can go buy clothes.
Yeah, and they cut a deal with him to let him do stuff. So I'm sure he's very accommodating now after he, you know, he held them over the barrel.
Yeah. He certainly did. I'll try to get into it a little bit. The best moves by Nick Caserio so far. Restructuring that. I think the worst move is bringing back Vernon Hargraves, but hopefully I don't know. We'll see if he's just a camp body or what. Desmond King, 1 year, $3.5 million. That is nice. Tyrod Taylor, 1 year, 12.5. If it gets up to that, it could be $6 million, depending on what happens. This, according to, and we're looking at these, this is according to the Texan SB Nation Battle Red blog, the best that they've done so far. Desmond King, Tyrod Taylor, Shaq Lawson to the Texans for Bernardrick McKinney. That was a pretty good deal. Ryan Finley, I don't know, we'll see. Hopefully you never have to see Ryan Finley in a Texans ever on the field. Hopefully never have to see him in a uniform. The Justin Britt, we'll find out, a guy who's been sitting a year. You know, they did pick up Hardy Nickerson. I don't think we've even mentioned that. They picked him up as well. I don't know. You know what? We'll see. I guess, Tremont Smith and Tavier Thomas, Terrence Mitchell could be a decent signing. You were really, really piss poor at cornerback last year, and you've definitely upgraded that.
Yeah, and you've
seriously upgraded.
You've added competent players. You hope to have Roby back and locked in. Maybe a new defensive staff will get along with him better, because we know there were some issues last year, and whether they left him home, and then he gets suspended for the same thing Will Fuller did. So you have him, you have Terrence Mitchell, and you have Desmond King. That is three legitimate NFL corners. That should be your top three, and there shouldn't be any question about it, at least if you look at the roster in comparison. Those are your three. And then you have a legit, it's not great, but it's at least average and way above what you had last year. And then you can maybe John Reed becomes a guy that provides depth, or you find another guy of all the other cornerback signs you made, or maybe you pick one up in the draft. But Vernon Hargraves, as you mentioned, we talked about it, camp body, who for whatever reason you wanted one more look at, or Caserio just wanted to look at because he wasn't with the team last year, At least Casario wasn't. So that's an improvement. And I think adding Lovie Smith, now he hasn't called plays in a while, but he's another competent person in the room. So you go from youth in terms of experience when it comes to Anthony Weaver to an experienced DC and a much better defensive back unit. Now if you can only find a way to rush the passer. Because the Texans were very weak at the two most important positions on the defense, at least in my eyes, at least groups, pass rushing and corner. Corner's been improved. I'm not sure pass rushing's been improved.
Running back's been improved with Philip Lindsay.
Yes, on the other side, yes.
Wide receiver is going to be less. Offensive line is going to be better with Marcus Cannon.
Is he who's moving the guard?
Well, we'll see if Howard. What somehow, some way, you get your best five out there. I don't think Marcus Cannon. You brought him in here for a swing to be a swing guy. I mean, you got to put your best five out there, and if that means Sharping and Howard, Cannon and Tunsil, and then Britt or McCray, whomever is going to be at center, then so be it. But you got to have your best five on the field. You got to do something. You got to be able to run the football. And with Philip Lindsay. And Tyrod Taylor is a threat. Okay. You know, we'll see if Randall Cobb is able to come back. You got Brandon Cooks, Dante Moncrief. You still got Chad Hansen. You got the white guy, token white guy.
Erickson?
Well, if he makes the team, we'll see. But he's a return guy, too.
What is your issue with white pro players?
Nothing. I like them.
You do?
No.
Well, at least in the college game, you didn't like Iowa set up because they're white.
Well, what about I like Gonzaga's? They got good white guys.
Iowa was a pretty good basketball team too.
I saw them play a few times.
Weren't they a two seed?
No, Iowa wasn't a two seed.
What were they? A three? What was Iowa?
They were a three or a four, weren't they?
Then Oregon as a seven. Advance because they didn't have to play VCU. I think Iowa was a two seed.
Iowa was a two seed?
Yes.
You see how stupid that is?
Yes, they were a two seed.
That's terrible.
They were a good basketball team this year.
Nah, they weren't very good.
Well, the Big Ten stunk period,
yeah,
apparently.
Look at the Big Ten. Yeah. One team left out of nine. Nice job, Big Ten. You suck. They got a bunch of slow white guys. Purdue was all white.
I don't like this tone. That
what are you talking
white
about?
Guys can't play is what you're saying?
Michigan with Dickerson. Wait,
yeah, that team's good. What do you mean?
Right.
They're in the Sweet 16.
They're all
right. They got a German, the younger brother of the other Wagner.
I know. Well, but he's German. That's different.
What does that mean? He's still a white guy.
Yeah, but he's not whitey. He's German. That's different.
Luka doesn't count because he's Slovenian.
Right.
But Gordon Hayward counts because he's American-born white.
Yeah, but Gordon Hayward's a good player. Gordon Hayward got his team to the championship game. Gordon Hayward hit one off the rim, off the backboard rim.
Did he make it?
No, but it was half court.
Did he make it?
It was half court.
Did he make the shot?
No, he took Duke, the greatest team ever, all the way down to the wire.
Not the greatest team ever. Wasn't the game like 50-48 or something? Yeah, it was another bad tournament game, whatever the score was.
No, it was terrible. Some white guys are okay.
Oh, so you pick and choose. Which white guys you want to take
shots at? Oh, you think all
at?
White guys are created equal? Is that what you think?
Y'all look alike to me.
Oh, see?
I just got to pile on since you're doing it anyway.
You see? No. Listen, this is... You want to talk about... We are so... When we come back, Del...
What?
We are so sensitive. There are two coaches that were butthurt yesterday.
In what sport?
Basketball.
Okay.
One in the pros, one in the NBA, and one in college. And we'll do both on the other side. Don't you go anywhere.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
I'm in love with the coco. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Welcome back here on the show. Kyrie Irving is not going to be with the team on this road trip, a three-game road trip, because he has to attend the family matters, Del.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to speculate. Hopefully, everything is okay in the family.
Yes. That if hopefully we can joke because it's something that's not serious.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something else that coincides with this three-game road trip.
What could possibly coincide? But it's family matters.
Yes. Well, would you call your own birth a family matter?
It is a family matter. Yeah, it's absolutely a family matter.
Today's is Kyrie's birthday. So because Kyrie has a reputation of doing some kooky things.
Wasn't he gone last time and he was at his dad's birthday party?
Yes, it was he was supposed to, I guess, be broken up about some stuff that happened political. Capitol riots?
They saw him on.
And he was at a party.
He was at a party, yeah. And then he was on some Zoom meeting, remember?
Uh-huh.
With a congresswoman?
Yeah. That was during that time.
Yeah.
But he also decided to go to a party.
Yeah, he was at a party. His dad's birthday party.
So because it's Kyrie, there is the belief that this family matter is maybe he's got a birthday party in his name to go to.
And you know what? Big ups. He needs a break. It's his birthday.
Does
time
he
to
need
celebrate.
A break?
It's time to. Yeah, hasn't he been there for like six games in a row?
You are correct on that.
So I mean, isn't it time for a break? I mean, you get 2 days off, don't you?
Not okay. All the time. Sometimes it's only one day off.
Well, right. I only get one day off. I'm the hardest worker.
I work on Sunday sometimes. You work on Saturdays. Kyrie, this was a tweet from the Nets yesterday. Kyrie Irving will not accompany the team on this week's three-game road trip in order to tend to a family matter. And someone with the handle Uncle Drew, obviously Kyrie's nickname, I really hope this ain't the reason. And it's the Google thing where you type in someone's name and it shows you the day they were born. Mm-hmm. And that's the screenshot he sent. I really hope this ain't the reason.
Why? I hope it is.
And then someone.
It makes me. I like Kyrie even more.
And someone quote tweeted it. Y'all never use PTO for your birthday?
Okay. So there's some. Man, I want to tell you, everybody, you want to talk about sensitive people, sensitive now.
Yeah, don't say my name in a reckless manner.
Yeah,
that's all.
So apparently, I don't know who Todd Furman is.
Yeah, apparently, he's a betting analyst
for CBS.
And he works for CBS.
He works for CBS, Todd Furman. I don't know. I can't. I'm going to look up what Todd Furman looks like. But then I go, oh, yeah, I know that guy. But apparently, before Texas Tech was playing Arkansas, Todd Furman said that coach Chris Beard, Texas Tech's coach, must be licking his chops knowing he gets to coach against Musselman. The Arkansas coach then could not wait to respond after his team.
We can go to the dueling audio because I've got what Todd Furman said pulled up, and then we can hear what Musselman,
Furman, and then Musselman.
I'm going to make a case for Texas Tech here. When I look at the head coaches in this game, I think it's one of the biggest mismatches we're going to see in the round of 32. We talked going into the game against Utah State, what Chris Beard's record looked like during the NCAA tournament. Well, he has to be licking his chops knowing that Eric Musselman will be on the other sideline.
So somehow, some way, Musselman heard about what Todd Furman had to say.
His son told him about it.
Okay, so his son is the one bringing
snitching.
That rat poison to the
snitching.
To the game.
Right before the game, too.
Hey, Dad, guess what he said?
I'm looking up. I got a picture of Todd Furman, and I wouldn't know him if he was on my big toe.
No idea.
So here is Eric Musselman's response after they beat Texas Tech.
I was alerted before the game about somebody on CBS who said something about the coaching matchup. So I was a little shocked that we could actually win a close game based on his comments. Whoever that guy is, I've never heard of him in my entire life. So his credibility is absolutely zero.
I don't know, just because you haven't heard of someone, that they can't be saying
that
things
he has
that are
no
correct.
Credibility.
Yeah, and Furman did not back down. He was he appeared on with Clay Travis on Outkick the Coverage Radio yesterday, and he said, "I stand by everything I said. Arkansas was a double-digit blown lead from their entire fan base needing to eat crow, and if Mac McClung, a Texas Tech player, doesn't miss the front end to try and tie the game up and they don't miss two layups, suddenly I look like the genius instead of everybody else." So Musselman's team, Arkansas, is now in the Sweet 16, and neither one of these two thinks they're wrong. I don't know anything. I don't know. Musselman coached Nevada. That was that Nevada team that came back against Texas. Remember when Texas had them a couple, maybe 2 to 3
yeah.
tournaments ago. Mm-hmm. Texas had them on the ropes, and they came. They had the two Martin twins, the two wing players who were twins. I remember him from that team, and I think there was a cool story about his wife or something that she was always up in the crowd, so they kind of featured her a little bit. But he's now in Arkansas.
Was she hot? Is that why they featured her?
I don't know if that was the case. I think it's just she was an exuberant coach's wife. I think that's why they featured her. But that's where I remember him from most recently. Now he's at Arkansas. Look, what Furman said isn't crazy. I just don't know.
Oh, yeah, Danielle Sargent. She is hot.
Well, John, not everything has to be about how attractive the woman is.
Well, she's
I don't want to minimize her into she's that hot coach's wife.
Yeah.
But I don't know Musselman's career, so maybe he does have issues and maybe he's not a great coach, but he took the opportunity to say, "Hey, shut up, Furman. I don't even know who you are.
I don't know you, so you have no credibility."
Yeah, you can't know what you're talking about because I've never heard of you.
Yeah, that's so you're stupid. Don't shut your face and don't ever talk. Keep my name out your mouth.
I appreciate the energy.
Yeah. No. Keep that same energy. Keep that same energy, okay? Furman. Wouldn't even know. Wasn't he the racist in the OJ trial?
That was Mark, not Todd.
Oh, all right. So now you got that. Now we got Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is none too pleased either with what is going on. Apparently, Steve Kerr said this on he said it on a podcast with Logan Murdoch.
Yeah, it's one of the Ringer podcasts.
It is one of the Ringer podcasts. He was on with him, and he told Logan Murdoch. Murdoch, he enjoyed last season when the Warriors went 15-50 more than Kevin Durant's final season with the Warriors. That last year was tough. There was a lot going on, some that you know about and some that you don't. That was very difficult. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Durant responded, "This is hilarious."
Yeah. And of course, Mr. Sensitive, who is Kevin Durant, was not going to let a perceived shot at him go. Kerr referenced agendas as well. He didn't specifically name anyone. He just, as far as agendas were concerned, just, hey, it was a rough year. But apparently he didn't appreciate how that conversation was taken out of context. He said, hey, there's other stuff surrounding that quote. It wasn't just simply a shot at particular people. It was like, hey, we had a lot of stuff and it was hard. And being around guys who just wanted to play ball, even though it sucked, as far as the record was concerned, was more enjoyable. I mean, we've heard that Warrior experience not being great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not new.
No, there was a lot of stuff going. That's when Draymond said that KD was a B.
Yeah, and
he said it multiple times.
He didn't like how
he just kept saying, "You're a B, you're a B."
In his face.
In his, yeah.
On the court. They didn't appreciate his handling of the free agency talk. It's not a question they wanted to answer over and over again. And we know how it ended. He wound up in Brooklyn.
And plus, not only that, listen, you want to talk about, pressure when you're trying to hunt another title, right? And then they ended up losing to the Raptors. It was a lot of controversy. Durant was going into free agency. They were you're trying to keep that thing together, keep that window open as long as you possibly can. The next year, I mean, they're going full Rockets. We don't give a rat's ass. We're going to win 15 games and we're going to get the number one pick. You know what? We don't care. That's so much more fun, not caring. Now, he didn't go, I mean, not if it's Steven Silas. Steven Silas ain't going to be happy about it.
No, it's his first opportunity. He's not looking for the first overall pick.
He doesn't have those rings like Kerr has.
No, Kerr has.
Kerr's got the rings. He's like, I don't care. This losing's fine by me.
Yeah, it's relaxing.
Yeah.
Every timeout isn't, and every side out of bounds play isn't something that I have to explain after the game. Why this didn't work?
Hey, I don't even have to do a post-game press conference anymore. No one cares.
I've got Eric Paschal as my best player. No one cares. Pascal's my best player, however you pronounce his name. No one's gonna care.
Steph's out. Clay's out. Are you kidding Draymond me? No more Durant.
Draymond's terrible when he plays.
I don't have drama.
I'm sure it was a break for him.
Oh, my gosh. He was like, this is awesome. This is the best year I've ever had.
Well, maybe a little much. Maybe the least stressful one.
Yeah.
But Kerr didn't like how those comments were contextualized. So almost immediately in his presser,
he wasn't even prompted. He just started going off on it.
I got to get to something. And this is what he said.
The second thing I wanted to bring up is Raymond alerted me to something. I did a podcast a few nights ago with Logan Murdoch, and I mentioned during the podcast that last season, in which we had the worst record in the league, was more enjoyable from a coaching standpoint than the previous season when we lost in the finals. And the context was basically that after the five-year run that we were on, that fifth year was just an absolute bear. It was the stress level, two season-ending injuries during the finals. DeMarcus also had a serious injury that took him out of the playoffs for 6 weeks. We had all kinds of stress. The whole point of the conversation was the stress of the five-year run compared to coaching a team of young guys that doesn't win many games, but is eager to learn. And I made the comment sort of offhanded that last year was more enjoyable.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on. Apparently it went on for multiple minutes.
Yes, he went on and on.
He did not appreciate the virality of his comments and how they're taken out of context. There was one particular reporter who Kevin Durant responded to. His name was Drew Schiller, because Drew Schiller just tweeted out what we said about how, because Drew Schiller threw in more than Kevin Durant's final season. Like, Steve Kerr didn't say it was more enjoyable going 15-50 more than Durant's final season. Drew Schiller added that to the mix as part of some contextualizing, I guess, what season it was. And Kevin Durant's like, ha-ha, as you pointed, you saw it. This is funny, or whatever he wrote, because Kevin Durant's always searching his name. He didn't at Kevin Durant. He just mentioned it, and Kevin Durant's going to see it. That's what he do.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant was once told, someone told him, hey, man, no one's criticizing. No, why are you so sensitive? You're one of the best players to lace it up. Why are you on Twitter? Why do you have burner accounts? Kevin Durant was like, look, if I'm on Twitter, I'm going to search my name. And if I see something, I'm responding.
Why?
That was I'm paraphrasing, but he pretty much said, look, if I see something and I don't like it, I'm clapping back. Humble. And people are like, why? Why would you want to add that part of that type of stress to your life? You're one of the greatest players to ever play the game. Somebody who doesn't know you has something to say, and you got to come back at them.
Why? What do you care that somebody in mom's basement is talking about you?
He has positioned it as Twitter is fun, so I'm going to have fun back.
Are you?
It doesn't seem like he's having
are
fun.
Are you? All right. We got another segment to go here before we hit News of the Weird. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Weird. Fun. Sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
You know, I've been thinking about Dabo and how difficult the situation. Remember Michael Jordan? Art asked, is this the behavior he was talking about? How he's Michael Jordan? Deshaun is Michael Jordan? And then somebody just tweeted a little while ago, said, okay, so there's 13, 14, 22, whatever the number is of women here. Are you saying nothing ever happened to Clemson?
That's the Aaron Hernandez theory, that Aaron Hernandez was bad at Florida and they covered it up until he got out of there, and then it jumped off in New England. There are some allegations that he did some things at Florida that they kind of like, shh. Yeah, we're trying to win national titles here.
Would it be shocking if something came to light from Clemson?
Look, there's a tweet that immediately got deleted that wound up in our group chat from Deshaun and went viral, that he was talking about, man, the massages I got from the girls in the crowd before I went out to go play my game. Yeah, and it got deleted. Because apparently they caught wind of it and got rid of it.
That was back when he was at Clemson.
2000, I think it was right before he got to Clemson, because it felt like a high school tweet.
Oh. Wow.
I think, we'd have to look, because I think it was screenshot and put in our group
so
chat.
So this was learned behavior, if it's behavior at all?
Yeah, I'm thinking back. I think the tweet was from 2012, which would have been before he got to Clemson.
This, and I don't want to get too much into politics, but Clay Travis has tweeted out, hey, Jamel Hill, directly at my girl, Jamel.
Yeah, Team Jamel, you are.
Yeah, I'm on Team Jamel. Hey, Jamel, will you be speaking out in support of the 14 brave and courageous minority women who have accused a powerful $100 million athlete and Deshaun Watson of sexual assault?
How does he know they're minority women?
Well, they're women.
But did he say minority women?
Yeah, he said
so
minority
women. So how does he know they're minority women?
Believe all women, right? I just assumed they were all white.
I don't know one way or the other, but how would he know that
know.
They're minority women? That seems like a little added salt on the...
Right.
He's trying to add some flavor to his tweet.
And then he says, keep your eyes on how many hypocrites there are in sports media when it comes to the Deshaun Watson case. Virtually none of the woke media have said a word about this because they're afraid of alienating their woke supporters. When victimization identities collide, silence rules.
It's interesting. I've noted that I can't stand this dude for this particular thing, that for whatever his issues with Jamel Hill are, if you believe, because it comes it feels like he believes he's better than her since he used this as an attempt to attack her. Why aren't you just concerned about the women? Why are you using it as a tool to hit her with the hammer if you are so concerned about the women? Clay?
Yeah, I don't know about is he use well? He's using this instance
to take a shot.
But
if you look,
that's right.
If you are so concerned
haven't
about,
you wondered, I've wondered about ESPN. You know, they've really Deshaun Watson was front when they were trying to save him from the tower. When he was Rapunzel, and they were trying to save Deshaun, he was the story every day, every day, every day. They did a 10-second reader on Deshaun this morning when he has been the story. Every single day.
I have one.
Now it's hands off.
No, I have wondered initially particularly why they weren't discussing it, but I didn't think it was a race thing. He has made it a race thing.
Well, is it? No, here's the problem is, you know, and we've said it. I mean, we've been open about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, I mean, how do you approach this when it's the victimization of women and it's an African-American quarterback?
So what is the correct tact for ESPN to do? We have approached, we've talked about it quite a bit because it's happening in our city. But are we supposed to, we haven't laid off per se, but we've approached like, we don't know. We will report what we see and what we read to people. That's kind of what we do here.
Right.
But we haven't destroyed Deshaun in the sense that, oh, he's guilty. Or these women are lying. In fact, we had the caller yesterday accusing women of being paid off and not being truthful. You fought back on that saying, we don't know. Why would you say that? We don't know the truth. I mean, that seems like the realistic approach to this.
Well,
we report what is being the lawsuits
but
and say you don't know.
But we've seen when Antonio Brown had, I mean, they have been, when Antonio Brown had legal issues, when Ben Roethlisberger, we've seen them, and anyone with legal issues. This one is pretty hands off.
Sports is filled with African American men for most of the sports we care about specifically when it comes to basketball. Well, y'all know the demographics. Does ESPN lay off those players, or are you just simply talking about because it's a quarterback that they're not talking about it, or because Deshaun holds some special place in their hearts? Because that wouldn't be a race thing. That would be about why Deshaun for some reason is immune to this at least for now.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that. Yeah, Ray Rice they attacked.
Yeah, it's not like it's been they don't go after athletes who are African American
right.
If something is going on, it would be a Deshaun thing specifically, not a race thing.
Right. It is funny how they are really as big a name as Deshaun is, as much of as they've talked about Deshaun. That they have, this is hands off.
I guess I would ask the question of Mr. Travis, maybe of yourself in this regard. I don't want to throw a quarterback's name in it because it's not fair to that quarterback. If it was a prominent white quarterback, do you believe they're hands off? Like a likable one. I don't know.
No, they were not hands off in the Ben Roethlisberger case.
How long ago was that?
It was a while ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was that, 4 or 5 years ago?
No, it's been a long time. It was before. It wasn't around the – it was when he was really elite, not – we're talking maybe a decade ago.
Maybe it was 12, 11, 12. I remember, but it was front and center. There was not – this is really getting – it's amazing how buried this is.
It was March 10th. So it was over a decade ago.
A decade ago.
Yeah.
Well, it was covered heavily. It's amazing how, to me, it is surprising how they're treating this with kid gloves.
Yeah, I wonder what's behind it, because I don't feel like they go easy on. I don't think they go easy by race when it comes to these type of things. But Deshaun has been the Kobe thing was daily. It wasn't like Kobe got off the hook. That was even further back in terms of not off the hook in terms of the trial, but as far as coverage, Kobe, that thing was covered. From top to bottom, they sent guys out to Colorado.
Yeah.
They didn't lay off. So is Deshaun unique, or they're changing the way they do stuff?
I don't know. This is odd. It certainly is odd. Yeah, I don't know about that whole victimization identities thing, but
I guess my point is I find it distasteful if you're going to use what could be, if proven to be credible, some awful things have occurred. And women have been hurt, and you're using it to take your shot at Jamel Hill in this rivalry you have that no one really cares about.
It's not just that. It's Darren Revelle too. He has his detractors because he's very Republican.
He's a troll. If he was Republican, is one thing. He's a troll. He's trollish in his actions.
Oh no! Well, they shoot their shots.
I'm not saying it doesn't go back and forth, but he is trollish in his actions, and it brings him into the forefront where shots are going to be taken at him because he enjoys that. That's part of his brand.
Oh, yeah. No. He's made a lot of money having
conflict.
Someone took a shot at Clay Travis. Oh, no.
That's part of his brand. He's looking for that type of interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and don't forget the boobs comment on CNN. I mean, he just wants
this. This is his deal.
It's not. I'll tell you this. It's not Skip Bayless-ish, though.
Well, Skip has had a prominent role in ESPN and now in FS1. There are levels to this, and Skip is that. Skip isn't politically trollish. He is just his is more benign to me.
He's just contrarian.
Yeah, what Skip does is like sports wise. I don't care. Oh, he has a differing opinion, a ridiculous opinion on LeBron. Okay, who cares? It's generally always sports. He's not clutch. Whatever. Okay, Skip, we can just look at that and go, okay, that's you doing whatever.
Yeah. No, and every one of his tweets are wrong.
He's
amazing.
He's an older man in really good shape, but he will take his shirt off and take pictures. Okay. I'm not going to take what Skip does as anything but the game. He's playing a game, and it's worked out well. What, 4 years, $32
million? Right. We got News of the Weird coming your way. And I was going to say 71378, but you can't call now because we got News of the Weird. Although we started it with the condom in the lungs already.
Oof.
You've never had that, right?
No, I've never had a condom.
Did you ever
in my
know
lungs.
Anyone that had a condom in their lung?
I've never had a conversation with anyone who said that. That's happened.
Yeah. If anyone starts coughing really hard and has mucus, you can ask them. You can find out. Maybe you've got the solution.
How do I approach that?
Just say, is there a chance you got a condom in your lungs?
Is that worse than suggesting someone is pregnant when they're not and they're actually just have a big belly? Which one is worse? Which one is an easier situation to extricate yourself from? Excuse me, miss. How far along are you? I'm not. Or, well, excuse me, miss, you're coughing.
Do you have a
condom stuck in your lung? Which one is the easier one to get out of?
Well, and that's weird, but it's going to get really weird when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Oh, my God. This is getting... This NFT thing? A digital home sold for $500,000. Are you people idiots? It's a digital home. It's not a real home. What is wrong with you? Why would you spend $500,000 on a digital? What is wrong with people?
Who's got that? Well, you got that money to burn. I'm not sure. How do you make money off of that? I don't get it. You're going to what, build up this digital home until it's worth more, and hopefully digital property value increases so you can sell it?
I don't know.
Or maybe you create a moment in that home.
What is wrong with people? Well, how about do we just buy stuff that is real?
Why, like an actual home?
Ever since crypto, we have to have everything that not real. We got to buy it. It's not real. I'll buy it.
No one likes real life anymore, John.
No. Is this guy maybe the biggest scumbag ever, Dell?
Who?
A southern Minnesota man stole $1,250 worth of Girl Scout cookies from the loading dock. Those girls didn't get their Girl Scout cookies to sell and go to Girl Scout camp because of this guy.
I don't think he's the biggest scumbag. All he did was steal cookies.
Well, he stole Girl Scout cookies.
Understood. But
those poor little girls can't go to camp now?
But understood. But
did they go to camp? I don't even know.
I don't know what Girl Scouts do. Understood, but it's just cookies. You know, there was a Girl Scout in front of the Randalls. I needed to go in there, pick up something. The Randalls. I was at had two entrances. You know what I did?
I always go to the other entrance.
I go on the other entrance and then walked out of that one.
At Wesleyan
too.
And Bissonnette?
No, it was near my home.
Oh.
They had.
So, dude, there's one always at Wesleyan and Bissonnette. Go to the other door.
Yeah, I saw.
And when you come out, you just go, oh, no, I've got a daughter at home.
No.
I got mine. I got
it. No, but I didn't hack. Well, yeah. That's a nice approach. But
that's what you'd say.
They don't know you're not married and you hate kids. That's true. Well, they'll know I hate kids by ignoring her pleas for cookies to buy. One interest on this side, the other interest on that side. I didn't even have to lie. I just walked in that one and walked out the same one and walked to my car.
No, I avoid them.
Yeah, they're easy.
Okay.
That's a bad setup for them. They need to go to a place with one interest.
They make that, but people are dumb and they walk by them.
No, I know, but if you're trying to maximize the guilt that you're going to inflict on people, you go to a store with one interest.
If there's someone at the table already, you can walk close there, but because they're busy.
Oh no!
But if there's nobody standing at the table, you gotta if I could go in the back door, I would. Okay,
the loading dock.
Hey, go in the loading dock, I would, to avoid those little.
Oh. You mean those little girls?
Sales girls.
Oh, yeah. Those tyrants.
Yeah. Okay, apparently, now there's a lot of, I don't know, I'm not on Facebook, but there's a lot of guidelines, right? Stuff you can say and can't say?
Apparently,
guidelines allow for users to call for the death of public figures. Dell, which public figure would you call for the death of?
You're not going to trick me. I don't want to call for anyone's death.
I'm going to call for Bin Laden.
What? Oh, he's dead already. That doesn't help.
Well, but I don't want him reborn or anything. That's who I'm calling for the death of. What celebrity or public figure would you call for the death of?
I wouldn't do that.
See, that's weak. I mean, I said who I would. All right, whatever. Apparently, there's a Long Island hotel. There's a Long Island hospital that is charging, that is, did you get your COVID tests? No, a test. Did you have to ever pay for a COVID test?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I have. It was like, I don't know, it was like $100 I had to pay. One time I got a COVID test. It was back in, but when it first started. This hospital is charging $1,720 per test. Do you think that you should pay $1,720 for a COVID test?
No, it seems ridiculous.
Do you think this hospital is a little bit greedy? They said, well, the insurance company should pay for it. And you wonder why our insurance premiums are where they are. Because this hospital wants to charge $1,700 for a COVID test. That's terrible news. Apparently, you remember when I told you the story about what's in Taiwan? If you change your name to Salmon, you could get free sushi.
I didn't know that.
It was a 2-week thing. I did the story the other day. If you change your name to Salmon, apparently you would get 2 weeks of free sushi from this restaurant. This guy's changed his name to Salmon Dream. Salmon Dream. And unfortunately, he has found out he can't change his name back.
You can only do it once per what?
As Taiwan allows people to officially change their names three times, many have been doing so to get free meals at the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I do remember this.
Yes.
But this
is the third time that he's changed his name to a different salmon name. And now he's going to be Salmon Dream for the rest
of
his life.
How desperate are you?
What is wrong
with free food that's what you're doing? Clearly, if you got the time to go change your name, mm-hmm. maybe you don't have more pressing concerns. I was thinking, if a homeless person needed food, they're doing this because. But clearly, this is something, this is a leisure activity for you. Cut it out. I'm glad. I wish you would have stuck with Cuttle. I wish you would have changed your name to Cuttlefish or something.
Ooh, Cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish
would be awesome.
Dream.
Yeah. Apparently, if you put your. Okay, how about this? The company is going to pay you $2,400, Dell, $100 an hour to not use your phone for 24 hours.
How much?
Can you do it?
How much?
$2,400.
Well, I would have. If it was a work day, I would have to write John Clay Wolf's number down before the day started, yeah. And then I think I could do it. That's the only reason I need my number. Because even with are they including a laptop? Because my laptop will allow me to text, which is the only other reason.
I think all of your
electronic devices.
Yeah.
Well, I have to use, it couldn't be on a work day because I have to use it for work.
Well, so what? They'll do it on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
I would do it on a Saturday. That's easy. I just read a book.
Yeah. No.
Yes. It's easy. And plus, I don't get phone calls because people know don't call me. I'm not going to call you back. It's easy. Give me a Saturday. Hell, give me a show day.
What if college football's on? No.
It's one day. I can survive.
Then you wouldn't be able to watch any college football.
It's one day.
And you wouldn't be able to do your podcast.
How much money?
Then you get fired from work
because
you can't do your job.
You know what you can do? There are things you can do is pre-record, set it to pre-record, and then not use it.
No, they won't let you do
that. No, that's not part of the rules.
You can't do anything.
I'm not. I did it on Friday.
From that day,
I did on Friday.
Nothing.
I set it up on Friday.
Nope. Sorry.
And you know what? What's great about the internet now? People will cut up the games and put them on YouTube almost immediately. So I can just watch them on Sunday. It's pretty easy. Saturday, even during a college football Saturday, it's easy. You're going to pay me not to use my electronics? Fine. Cool.
Ted Nugent says he's not racist. He in telling so, he used the N-word to tell everybody he's not racist.
Is he like the Papa John's guy?
Yeah.
Taking 20 months to get the N-word out of my system.
He's taking classes to not use the N-word.
And it's taken 20 months. It's been a 20-month process for him.
Yeah. A man was harassing a woman for wearing a Puerto Rico shirt, Del, saying, it's un-American.
Well, for now, you know, with Biden backing statehood for D.C., Puerto Rico might be next. Did you see, there's a tweet out there, some woman, something went down in Miami where two men are being accused and they are arrested for drugging and raping a woman. And
that's not a fun story.
No, but I'm pointing out that there is a woman on Twitter who has a picture while she's out and about of the two guys photobombing her picture. So she posted them side by side of the report and her picture of the guys in her picture. And she goes, oh, nothing, just out in Miami getting photobombed by rapist murderers. That's crazy.
Wow.
These guys
Was this the woman who...
No, she didn't get attacked.
She wasn't the one who was attacked.
It's a different... unfortunately, a different woman was raped and murdered. But she was...
She's the one who provided the evidence.
No. She just happened to have them in a picture because they photobombed one of her pictures. She was that close to two guys who went on later...
Wow. Later they did it.
To rape and kill someone.
Wow. The dumbasses. Don't be photobombing.
Well, they got caught for different reasons, but they were just... She just happened to notice, I guess, in one of her pictures that the guys she saw in the news were these guys, and she was like, "Wow, they're within 2 feet of her, and just strolling by. There's a photo ticket. Hey,
wow, you know how lucky you are. And oh, by the way, you helped the cops.
Yeah, well, there's certainly now evidence that these guys are in that in the city. It's not like you can't pretend you weren't in the area.
No, right.
So that's there too, but." Insane.
Well, they always ping their phones. Whatever.
That stuff, too. That works, yeah.
Apparently, Satan's lawyers are going to court to seek the right to pray at city meetings. I didn't know Satan had lawyers, but he does. The thousands of Satanists have their way. The Arkansas State Capitol will soon host a mystical winged goat idol. not far from an existing 3-ton monument of the Ten Commandments. Do you think Satan should have equal rights to the Ten Commandments?
No.
He is Satan, by the way. He does bad stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm going to go no.
No. So you just don't think that Satan should have equal rights?
I'm not sure.
You're not an equal rights guy.
I'm not sure Satan cares what I think about what rights he should have. I think he supersedes that anyway, but I'm going to say no.
So you're not. So basically, you're not an equal rights guy.
Not when it comes to Satan. Hmm. Like if people who commit crimes can get their voting rights taken away, I'm going to say Satan doesn't get equal rights.
Okay.
Sorry, those laws already have precedent.
So you're selective equal rights. Satan doesn't deserve the same equal rights
supreme,
as everybody else.
A supreme being who, I guess, would be blamed for all evil in the world, ever and current and future, yes. I don't think he gets equal rights.
Well, that's you.
Yeah, I'm it is. Equal what, rights what do you think?
I'm an equal rights guy.
You believe
guy.
Satan gets equal rights?
I think everybody should have equal rights. Even, that's how I am.
What about people who aren't of this
all
earth?
All men and...
He's not a man.
And everything else is created equal.
That's not written in the Constitution.
We're done. Charlie Polillo is next. He'll defend the Constitution as opposed to Dell.
Watch it.
ESPN 97.5.